Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Matt and Matt. Hey, guys. Welcome to James Bonding, episode 20-something. It's for your eyes only. Oh, my God, we have finally got here. I'm Matt Myra. That was where Matt Gourley was supposed to say, I'm Matt Gourley, but he's not here because he's going to Mississippi for some reason, probably some sort of secret mission I don't know about. He's very important. Guys, this episode of James Bonding is brought to you by Mack Weldon. What? Can you believe it? Guys, Mack Weldon, you know what they do? They make some awesome underwear, shirts, and socks. They got you covered, guys, literally, underneath. It is smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. Guys, it's so easy. You go on there, you take a gander at their inventory, and you go, I'd like that in this size. What? It's in stock? Yeah, it's in stock. It's super easy over there. You don't have to worry about any of that. Warehouse workers dying from Amazon? Not over at Mack Weldon. They probably treat their warehouse workers right. I have no evidence to back that up, but I just assume they do because they're sponsoring us. Guys, all their products are naturally antimicrobial. What's that mean? That means that if you start sweating in your junk area, it's not gonna stink up so bad. That's right. So if Goldfinger's gonna cut your dick off with a laser, he's not going to know that you're worried. He's not going to smell your junk starting to sweat because James Bond is probably wearing some Mack Weldon's. No problem from him. Guys, they want you to be comfortable. So if you don't like your first pair, what are you going to do, right? You're going to probably package that up, send it back, and then maybe you'll get your money back? Wrong. If you don't like your first pair, you keep that shit. Mack Weldon doesn't want your dirty underwear, but they want you to be a satisfied customer, so they're going to refund you on that first pair if you don't like it. It's never going to happen, but, you know, in case it does, which it won't, no questions asked, they'll refund you, you keep it. You keep the thing you don't like. They're not going to ask questions, you liar. You probably really do like it. Don't be a jerk. Just buy it and be happy because it's awesome. Not only does Mack Weldon underwear, socks, and shirt look good, they perform well, too. What does that mean? Well, it means it's good for everything. It's good for evenings of playing Baccarat, which I think, having been a fan of James Bond my entire life, I think the idea is to get closest to 19. I don't really know. You're just kind of like guessing what card's coming up next. It doesn't really make a ton of sense to me. And that's why when Casino Royale happened, they were like, let's switch it to Texas Hold'em Poker. That's really popular now. Plus, Baccarat's too hard to understand. And it's just played by old Chinese guys in casinos. Guys, there is so much to love about Mack Weldon, but mostly you can love the fact that you go to MackWeldon.com, MackWeldon.com, and get 20% off. How do you do that? You just use the promo code BOND, as in James Bond. That's because you're listening to the James Bonding podcast, and it was brought to you by Mack Weldon. Guys, please, please support our sponsors. They help us make this thing. And if you support them enough, Matt Gourley and I will probably think of other things to do with this podcast before we put it on ice after Spectre comes out. So fear not, ladies and gentlemen, For Your Eyes Only is right here.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Matt and Matt, James Bonding Podcast.
It sounded fine while it was working.
And then it went out.
And now I'm going to get your phone away from the microphone because it's causing so much interference.
Well, we're going to need that later. But
listen,
hey,
I'll drop it in post. That's what we do here.
Let's start with a healthy cheers. We've got some red wine here.
We're drinking wine.
For the last of the Bond movies.
Yeah, this is a great way to celebrate the last of the standard Bonds before we get to Spectre. We've got a great guest. In fact, we're in your home right now.
You're in my residence. So this is, well, you're in the back house.
This is We had to come around the back.
Generally, the podcasting we do out in the back here.
Yeah.
You know, like in the old plantation days, in case a fire starts in the kitchen, they don't want.
I haven't even had a sip of wine yet.
That's basically what the podcasts generally happen out here. Just so that the family doesn't have to always know, you know, what dad's doing back here.
Have you ever fathered an illegitimate podcast child?
Well, I think I did, and it was with Ricky Lindholm, and it happened right there where Myra's sitting.
It's Thomas Lennon, ladies and gentlemen.
It was just an episode of her podcast, but it was,
Sure.
Yeah. A lot of this might have been in my head.
What is that?
Great to see you guys.
How old is that baby now?
That would be almost got to be five.
Wow. Did it get written up in the AV Club at all?
Hello, AV Club. You're also sitting where the Nerdist podcast began.
It's true. First episode recorded.
And this
right
was
here.
Recorded right here.
No
in this
kidding.
Room.
Yeah. What's the story there?
We started a podcast, and Hardwick said, "Hey, Tom, do you want to do the first episode?"
He said, "Hey, Tom, hey, you know the Super Bowl's on today." To which I said, "Oh, is it, sir?"
That's usually my response
took
as well.
A whole bunch of adult men who did not know or care the Super Bowl was on, and then we kind of got back here. We took our shirts off.
Made podcast history. 740 episodes later, and we're sort of talking still.
And I get a nice little check for every...
Really?
That's not accurate. No.
You'd be the
not
only
accurate,
one.
But I don't think anyone does, so that's fine.
I did the Nerdist podcast, and this guy didn't even show up.
Oh, you did, yeah. You had, it was the Super Ego podcast.
Yeah, but still,
I didn't
want
to get in the way of that rapid fire.
I always like to see you.
Improvisations.
We're doing, this is serious navel gazing. When we're talking podcasts about podcasts.
Yeah.
White people might have overstayed our welcome and use.
We just went clear. We went translucent.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Guys, welcome back to James
Bonding. We may have overstayed our use.
You know, 40% of people in India don't have access to a toilet. At all, but other podcasts that we've done have been really fun.
You know, I do four.
Fun.
The average third world person only has one podcast. I do four.
I do five. There's nine fucking podcasts between the two of us.
Oh my god! Do you do any? You don't do?
No, he just guests on.
Yeah, you guest on them.
I'm I'm a frequent. I'm a Paul Lind to the podcast.
Yeah, you go on your.
If you want a podcast, take one of ours. Pick one you like and take it. Yeah, anyone.
You can have it. You want Nerdist? Take it, please.
So it's For Your Eyes Only.
Guys, it's a moment we've all been dreading, which is the last of the movies we have to get to before Spectre.
And I believe this, as the story goes, you said to Tom, "Do you want to do this?" And he said, "This is the one I want." Right?
To me, there's no, it's not even a discussion. This is, For Your Eyes Only, for me, is
for
the
excuse me, for the home audience, your son is staring into the glass door of this back house, holding
a
your tombstone.
That
holding
has my name on it.
Well,
tombstone.
Let's tell the full arc of
it's
this.
A Halloween decoration, but it is very eerie. It's eerie as fuck.
Well, it's more eerie because he came in first and posted a little placard, hung it on the door that said, "Welcome, friends."
Yeah.
I just noticed that's gone, and then he's holding up a tombstone with your name on it.
Yeah. You've seen The Shining, right?
I have now.
We have that kind of relationship.
Somebody's banking on those Herbie fully loaded residuals. He's like, "Dad, you're going to die, and that's mine."
He sits in my lap, and I say, "I would never, ever hurt you or Mom." The way things go around here. But now, of course, that he's seen you out here podcasting, I got to go bury you out in the swamp.
Okay.
All right. Let's get to it.
For your eyes only.
And when Myra came to me and said, "We're talking James Bond movies," I said, "Well, it's no discussion for me." And there's a couple reasons why. Certainly the age I was when For Your Eyes Only came out, which is I was...
1981.
I was 11, about to be 12. I was probably on the
prime
cusp
age.
Of,
prime age.
Which is almost like if you were trying to like make a Manchurian candidate, if you were like trying to imprint a boy, like to make like a soldier, like a like to corrupt a boy's brain, you almost couldn't do better because still, watching it, and I watched it today to get back in the zone to talk about it.
Back in the FYOE talking zone.
Like, Sheena Easton comes EO. On.
Yeah, she does.
And throbbing boner. I mean, there's just no way around it. It has everything you want in a James Bond film.
It does.
And I'll also point out that I was at the age, here's what's interesting. This was the first time I was probably allowed to, me and like my friend Dave Hedger could walk to the Lake Theater in Oak Park, and we were allowed to go see this movie by ourselves. Mm-hmm. So that's a big turning point for a boy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to speak to that, though, that my film when I was 12 and could go see it by myself, and it was a huge summer blockbuster, was View to a Kill. So you, but it's powerful enough that it's one of my favorite movies, as sucky as that film is.
By the way,
is.
Actually, I really like A View to a Kill.
It's really good. Because
it's got the giant horse stables.
Thank you.
Walken. Mm-hmm. It's got Grace Jones with the crazy butterflies
on
sticks.
I think we're hitting on something
thank
here.
Thank you.
My 11 or 12-year-old movie would have been Goldeneye.
Yeah. Can I say what it is then? It's your Bond Mitzvah.
Oh.
Why is it taking us nearly 28 episodes to get to this?
This is why generally you come to do the podcast here first.
Yeah.
I asked you first, and this is the movie you chose, and I said, okay, see you in 2 years.
And this is the first time I was available. So, but it's a boy's Bond Mitzvah when you are no longer a little boy, and you're in a 12-year-old with a boner at the Lake Theater watching Sheena Easton, who I misremembered. In my memory, whenever people ask me about For Your Eyes Only, I'm like, and Sheena Easton's naked in the main titles, which is not accurate.
No.
But in my mind's eye, I filled in the blanks, and I convinced myself that was true.
Yeah, she's naked adjacent.
She's naked adjacent. She is leisurely, casually covering up her bosoms while tons of nudity happens around her.
Have you mapped out her areolas? Is it big? What's going on?
Well, she's got her arms sort of folded as she sings. Mm-hmm. They obviously said,
in your mind's eye, when is she naked?
Here's what happened. They said, Sheena, so let's lose the top, and then we'll sit here at the table. Casual, and we're going to trek in, and then we're going to trek out.
Australian director.
And we're going to trek in and trek out, and casually, and if you feel like moving your hands, whatever, if one of them pops out.
Whatever.
But the title, for your Bond dollar, more erotic title sequence than For Your Eyes Only? Tough to top. I mean,
didn't we have one recently
even,
where we
even
were?
Goldeneye was pretty neat. There was all this sort of Russian stuff. But you actually see nipples.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed in the Blu-ray versions of these, that you were not meant to see certain things, and now you can, and it's a whole different deal.
I watched a regular DVD of For Your Eyes Only.
Oh, you
and
still?
You still see very.
Things not going okay? Do we need to get you a Blu-ray player?
Yeah, all other signs point to the fact that you should have a Blu-ray player. I got to be honest with you.
The fact that you're in the other house.
Is this like a vinyl thing that you're doing? Or?
No, I just, I own the one that I've owned
your
for a long
vinyl
time.
Your vinyl is DVD.
But it starts on a very weird note. Well, the film starts, interestingly, with the dead wife.
Yes.
With the cemetery visit.
The callback to Tracy.
Yeah.
There's a reason for this.
Bond, Roger Moore, who is always my Bond. To be fair, when this film came out, which is one of my first Bond films, certainly my first go by yourself Bond films, I was not aware that there were other James Bonds.
Oh wow.
The notion that Dr. No and Sean Connery and that whole world didn't really exist to me.
I can't imagine the beauty of that because my dad was like, here's this series of films, let's just pick one.
Yeah.
But the fact that you saw that, loved it, and then went, now there's at that point what, like 13 more or something.
Yeah, and then I went and saw like the Sean Connery ones, and I'm like, this guy's really dry.
Yeah.
What happened? I'm like, what happened to the guy with the sort of blow dry pompadour in the Sansibelt slacks doing light kung fu?
Yeah, just as likely to be wearing a safari jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It, look around you, there's a large picture of me with highlights on the wall and mustache. Roger Moore is clearly my Bond.
Yeah.
Roger Moore was something I could relate to. Certainly something I was.
So that was this the first one you had seen, or just the first one you saw in the theater by yourself?
Whether or not, I mean, I must have seen. This was preceded by Moonraker.
Mm-hmm.
I must have seen that,
right.
But I don't know that I saw that in the movie theater.
Yeah,
because I would have been like 9 or 8, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure if they would have allowed me to see that. Certainly not by myself.
Yeah.
Years later, I briefly dated a stripper that Ben Grant referred to as Moonraker.
Sure.
Okay, well, I'd like to know why.
Let's peel this onion a little bit. And the reason was because she kind of looked like Jaws' love interest.
Oh, all right.
The pigtail.
Yeah, and the blonde kind of glasses.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And so briefly, I... that was back in the era. This I was, of course, young and single, and I was dating a stripper that my good friend and writing partner referred to as Moonraker. And Moonraker, if you're listening,
sorry, I didn't work.
Thanks for all the good times. Where were we? First, so imagine not knowing. I didn't know about Sean Connery. You know, there was no. I didn't feel like Roger Moore was filling in for anybody.
That's an interesting.
You're even holding your microphone in a very Roger Moore way.
Like, I'm holding my microphone the same way when he chases Jaws around through the pyramids.
Yes, very gingerly.
Spy-loving.
Do you remember how Gene Rayburn would hold his mic or Bob Eubanks? Like, you've got a pinky up.
I've got a pinky up.
You're sipping red wine.
I'm sipping red wine.
We're drinking out of typical wine glasses, and you've got like some kind of chalice.
I got a little chalice.
Yeah, a little sailor's chalice or something.
Well, like an Egyptian hieroglyph for the sun god Ra?
Pound for pound, what Bond film has more varied, better set pieces than For Your Eyes Only?
Oh, boy, that's not a question we've answered before.
I think it covers... There's so many styles of action set pieces. I mean, there's motorcycles down bobsled runs.
Yeah, because you've got Olympics and tropical settings too.
You nailed the Winter Olympics.
You've got shark Mediterranean attacks. You've got a shark bites a gentleman in the crotch.
Part of this is there's a reason for this.
Go for that guy's jump.
How that happened and what happened there, I don't know. But that's a real man in the water with some kind of shark.
Not anymore. So
and the shark bites his balls super hard.
After Moonraker, they realized they'd gone way too far. And they said they got to get back to From Russia with Love and On Her Majesty's
Moonraker
Secret Service.
Have the guy with the beard who's like this?
Yeah.
Like
Mr. Bond.
Going to do this
see that some harm comes to him.
He's basically Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
That's an interesting... Cause that's
and what's his plan? His plan is he's going to weaponize the moon?
No, he's going to make a master race.
Make a master race away from Earth. He wants to kill the Earth and then repopulate with his with his beautiful people.
That's interesting, because the one thing that's strange watching For Your Eyes Only is the plot, the ATAC machine, is very random.
Very
It's also very From Russia with Love, like the Lecter machine. Like,
here's a thing.
Yeah.
Go get the thing.
Yeah, it's
where am I gonna
pure MacGuffin.
It? Every amazing country in the world tied to a lady in just bikini bottoms.
That is, but that is, it's interesting that the Bond franchise is now this... Now we're into the second time the Bond franchise had to correct itself.
Third, right?
What do you think was the other time?
Well, I think...
The Die Another Day, clearly.
Yes.
They were like,
Moonraker,
we
Die Another Day, and
an
I
invisible car.
Think even You Only Live Twice.
Korean guy with diamonds in his face that happens to be an albino.
Which one's this?
Die Another Day.
Have
That's
I not
the
seen this
last
one?
Pierce Brosnan one.
I guess I haven't seen it.
Well, you'd be all right if you
I
hadn't.
I guess I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's bonkers.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Huh.
Yeah.
So they... Didn't
By the way, my favorite plot of, was it the second to last or the last, Daniel Craig, was the guy from Diving Bell and the Butterfly says, Mr. Bond, I'm going to overcharge the world ever so slightly for water.
That's Quantum of Solace.
I'm like, that's Quantum of Solace, which of course, greatest title of all time.
Yeah.
like literally more pretentious than a police album title, like Zenyatta Mandata and Regatta du Blanc, Quantum of Solace. but the premise of that film is he's going to slightly overcharge people for water.
Well, I think that's very current now, the way that we are. He's like the CEO of Nestle, that guy.
He's like Tom Selleck.
to me, this For Your Eyes Only ticks the boxes of everything I want in a James Bond.
This is your one. You'd say this is the best one.
I wouldn't even... It's not even a discussion for me. Like... It has absolutely everything. It's got the beautiful, mysterious girl. It's got random hookups with the Countess, who's like a weird Cockney girl, who gets run over by motherfuckers with dune buggies.
And that stunt is brutal.
Dune buggy murders.
Yeah, that stunt woman was injured by that.
Had to be.
Yeah, it's on
it
screen.
It looks unintentionally terrible.
That's Cubby Broccoli's philosophy. Put it on the screen.
Well, you know... By the way, you know, that's generally true. If a stunt person dies, I believe the unspoken code of stunt people is you use that
as like an to honor them?
To honor them, Yeah.
Well, they used the take where Tuple accidentally got shrapnel in his
face. That's right.
Did he really?
Yeah.
For real?
When they were doing the gunfight on the boat?
Yeah.
He got it like right. He got it right in the face, and he goes down.
And Twilight Zone, the movie, right? They use
no.
Yeah, you can see it all happen.
No, they didn't use that.
It's on the Blu-ray. Check out the Blu-ray. No. You guys wouldn't know.
No. What I love about the scene where Tuple pulls up, they pull up in the sailboat, and they're all like standing on the deck eating pistachios.
Two seconds later,
they murder 50 men, which is so crazy. They're like casually coming up. They're like, okay, drop the sails. Yeah. Topol's like, drop the sail. Okay, and then they're like, okay, jump and murder everyone you see. There's no plan other than murder.
He's so charming.
He's great.
Here's another reason that I think. What other Bond films does Bond have a really good friend?
About 50% of them.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, so this guy was a direct, the kind of like, they wanted to take From Russia With Love, they had Kerem Bey, who is this like Turkish connection, like a mentor figure. And
then he sometimes has Oscar the or
Felix Leiter. Yeah, sorry, and then on Her Majesty's Secret Service.
A little plug for The Odd Couple. coming back to CBS.
Monday nights at 2 p.m.
Felix, yeah.
Then there's the guy from Honor Majesty's Secret Service, Tracy's dad, too, that's kind of like this. So they didn't think that Roger Moore was going to be in this. That's why they put that opening shot of him standing at the grave to kind of link it back to the story. And they screen tested James Brolin, of all people, for this film.
American actor James Brolin.
Yes. And you can see that online, too. I think we've talked about this before. But he did come back, and they still kept it in.
Was he doing an accent? Of course.
I think so.
Works for the MI6, yeah?
Yeah. So remember at the...
Is it something like this, I hope? It's like, hello, my name's Shane Brolin, left profile, right profile.
Me mum's Barbara Streisand.
Consider yourself.
Me mum's
Barbara Streisand? No.
Well, something like that.
No. That's my bird, man.
Oh, right, I'm thinking of Josh Brolin.
You're thinking...
That's me. I was just hoping I could get in on this film with me dad.
It's so funny. I'm in a Josh Brolin movie, and I can't remember what it's called now. He's got his face melted off a little bit. Western.
Jonah Hex.
Jonah Hex.
Yeah. I was gonna.
You're in that?
I am persnickety telegraph customer who comes in and part of the reshoots.
Well, maybe you haven't heard of my other podcast, I Was There Too, where people talk about small roles they played in great scenes like Dark Knight.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we got to do that.
Rest of your podcast.
Yeah, let's do that.
I have 111... acting credits.
I'll come in through the podcast back door.
IMDb.
And we'll do
just
it all
scroll
over.
Scroll my IMDb, my finger gets tired.
He's like Christopher Lee.
I've literally never said no to anything.
Well, great. Does that include podcasts?
No, I say no to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, I understand that.
Let's talk about the opening cold open scene.
Yes,
open is a strange misfire.
It's heavily meta. This was a slam on Kevin McClory, who owned the rights to Blofeld. That's why they kill him.
But it's so weirdly done, and like the pat on the bald head out the window of the helicopter. Now, the other thing about it though is the helicopter work is incredible,
amazing.
Yes,
it is so astonishingly good and so scary. Once you've been in the movie business for a while, and you know how scary it is. Helicopters are dangerous stuff. And just
Twilight
flying through buildings, and they're flipping upside down, and they almost hit the ground 20 times. It's very impressive.
Yeah.
And then there's a dummy.
That's right. There's a few sequences, like the rock climbing sequence, no music.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Because otherwise, Bill Conti is like really laying it on pretty heavily.
It's pretty thick, yeah.
Yeah.
But the opening sequence, amazing helicopter work. The inside joke of killing off Blofeld,
Inside joke of the I'll buy you a delicatessen.
And that, stainless steel.
What?
I can explain.
Does anyone know what that's supposed to mean?
Here's Matt Gorley.
Hi, this is Matt Gorley reporting for Podcast Central.
Wow, you've been in this podcast for almost a half hour, but I'm glad. Thanks for introducing yourself.
Yeah, by the way, thank you. It's great to be here.
So what is that? I buy you.
This was apparently a mafia cliche of a mafia person that would go like, yeah, I'll make you an offer you can't refuse, or to like button them up or bribe them. I'll buy you a delicatessen, stainless steel, you know. I know it doesn't. It does not read. No, it doesn't land at all. Yeah. But they still put it in.
I would have, if I was in the editing room, I'd be like, guys, terrific movie. When she's tied in the bikini bottoms and the shark bites the guy's nuts.
Uh-huh, we're listening.
They climb the thing and yeah. Topol and the bird.
Great. Okay, we're amazing. Good. We're good. Thanks.
What's up with I'll buy you a delicatessen that Blofeld sells?
I would just say, guys, good news, chimney. We don't need this ADR recorded.
What if that's all they brought in for? We want to get this one extra
ready,
line.
And beep, beep, beep. I buy you a delicatessen. All stylist deal.
That's almost Blofeld, who is arguably the most important James Bond villain of all time. That's his second to last words are, I'll buy you a delicatessen in stainless steel. That Blofeld, we were talking about this earlier, played by John Hollis, who played Lobot in Empire Strikes Back.
His plan of it is perhaps the most convoluted part of Arizona, which his plan is put him in the helicopter with my pilot, kill the pilot.
Could have put a bomb in.
Could have done a million other things. Then have an easily accessible disconnect switch for the remote control.
Just a cord.
I don't know if you know how helicopter wiring is. You don't want to open up that dash. You're going to risk a lot of other things. So just put it on the side.
Yeah.
The other thing they show in this movie is that this James Bond knows everything.
Yes.
Literally, he knows codes to doors that Q can't remember.
To the tune of The Spy Who Loved Me. Yep. Nobody does it better.
He knows. He also has a photographic memory of everything that's ever happened. Uh-huh. He can fly helicopters.
Given James Bond's memory, as we've made a track record for, it should not take them so long to get that guy's face on that dumb computer.
Oh, because they do a passage of time thing.
She comes in and replaces
our coats.
She replenishes her teas.
Yes.
Yeah. That is best. And then they end up with Warren Zevon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
That was the big, sort of...
I actually think that guy basically looks like origin story of Slugworth.
Oh, sure.
Oh, wow.
He's basically Slugworth origins.
I really like that guy in this film. Mm-hmm. I think he's
got one of those faces that just looks like,
He died in 93, that guy.
Because today that would be some really ripped person or freaky looking person. He's just a normal looking creepy guy.
The fact is most real crimes in the world are perpetrated by sort of soft looking white guys like him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Podcasters.
He's a real face of crime, especially large crime.
Yeah. During the LA Podcast Festival, crime drops in Los Angeles.
And a bunch of babies are born 9 months later. So the scene where Melina's parents are strafed by that seaplane, that was meant to be the cold open. That's why it ends on her eyes, and then it was supposed to go into the sequence.
It's a real long hold on her eyes that doesn't make a ton of sense.
No,
it feels like it
should cut into that. She is.
She's a very attractive girl.
But something about her performance falls flat for me because she's dubbed.
She's French playing Greek. That's
but it just didn't, I don't know, something about her.
Did she dub herself?
No.
Someone else dubs her. I never knew that, and now that you say it, it makes so much sense because it is... It all sounds a little...
Yeah, her voice is a
little... She comes up and says, Tikanes, mama, or something like that. Yeah. By the way, here's the other thing about this movie. Even the woman that plays Melina's mother isn't wearing a brassiere.
Nobody is.
No one's wearing a brassiere. No. There is this undercurrent of just casual sexiness that's endlessly happening in this movie.
Yeah.
Which, for a young boy, this was a...
That's exactly why you like it
so much.
It's
a casually very sexy film.
It is interesting, but what I like about this movie, too, with Roger Moore, is that he hasn't hit the octopussy age of Roger Moore yet. I think this is the last Roger Moore movie where you're like, oh yeah, that guy.
His hair is a little long in this one, too, it's coming up in the back. Out. Yeah, yeah.
He's officially got the dry look.
Yeah.
Which is because it's a very wet water and snow movie, but he stays really dry.
Real blow dried, nicely.
Real.
Okay, so we should touch
on
that.
And then, BB, what's her name? BB?
Yeah, BB.
No, BB, the figure skater. BB?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Phoebe, I thought.
No, BB.
BB. At one point, she's the first ever American Apparel ad later. She's doing bar work practice.
Oh, yeah.
She's just wearing a green.
Yeah, I meant to ask you guys, what were my feelings okay while I watched that?
Here's the thing that's tough about that.
No, she's an adult woman.
She's only a year younger than Carol Bouquet, who plays Melina. Melina
seems like a kid.
And Bond have the greatest age discrepancy of any film.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think it's 23 years or something.
More than Kim Basinger.
Or she's 23. I'm not sure about that. Oh. But
she also kind of looks like my sister, so let's...
Who, BB? Or,
a little bit.
Melina?
Yeah, a little bit. You know my sister.
Yeah.
They're in the same sort of category. So that was always a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
It kind of killed some of the fun of that. But then Bebe comes in, and then there's the weird countess whose one boob comes out for a minute, who gets murdered by dune buggies.
Oh,
Pierce
yeah.
Pierce Brosnan's wife.
That's right.
Is that Mrs. Brosnan?
She brought him to set, and that's where they got the first taste of him. That's true. Yeah. That's true. But so Bebe is supposed to be young, and she's not really that young compared to Carol Bouquet, so I think they tried to make her dialogue like a little rascal or something. Yeah, and she's like, well, mister, come on, golly.
Yeah.
She basically seems like, I'm just a girl who can't say no.
Yeah.
She could sing that at some point.
She couldn't say no, though.
It is funny.
She's over-sexualized to a point where it's really disturbing.
Right, and is she... How many women does Bond meet in the canon of films, now that you know them all, that he does not make love to?
It's a rare thing.
When he gives you a pass.
Yeah. There's the main girl in Quantum of Solace.
Right.
He does not bed.
Yeah.
Because he's dealing with
and
the
then
water
BB, the figure skater.
And Solange in Casino Royale, because he's on the mission. He goes on the mission.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
But I have a little nugget for you guys.
I love it. Drop the nugget.
The woman that is the florist when they're in, like...
I'm well aware that she's somebody's something, because the longest... when they're in Cortina, there is a lingering shot of the feathered hair florist that is so oddly long. Yep. It just goes, 1,000, 2,000... 3, and it's just like too much screen time.
You know there's a reason. She won a contest. She was also... Hold on, I've got to bring this up.
By the way, she's the woman that James Bond, moments later, says to send them to the funeral. Because that man is apparently dead.
Yeah.
That man is a corpse.
Yeah, well, that's that stunt is unbelievable.
With a motorcycle helmet on. I feel like I've fallen through plate glass twice this year.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm basically fine, right?
Yeah. And you weren't wearing leather and a helmet. Yeah, that guy's fine.
Okay, this woman's name is Robin Young.
Mm-hmm.
She won a contest.
She won a contest, but let me read to you her Twitter bio.
Oh my God, she's on Twitter?
Yes, okay. This is word for word.
What are we going to DM her right now?
Robin Young, at Robin _ Young.
Hey, are you up?
SAG AFTRA actress, comma, 007 James Bond girl, comma, 14 Playboy pictorials, comma, model, comma, patriot, comma, single, comma, Christian. Goals?
Comma, not single for long.
Goals, author and motivational speaker. And funny. She's got a hashtag in her bio that I checked this yesterday when I watched the movie, has since changed. Now it's hashtag Jack is Black. Yesterday was hashtag No People, about that app People that you can rate other human beings.
The one about rating people, like Yelp.
Yeah, boy. And her website link is orgasmicmedia.com, and that's where you can find out about her bio.
She's having it every...
And a patriot. Then 14.
And a patriot.
Playboy pictorials. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she lives in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And she's a...
Patriotism.
Shall I look her up next?
Maybe invite her to the wedding. That's right. We've got a big congratulations. We should take a second for her, too.
This is the last... This comes out,
right? Yeah.
No, this comes out this week.
No, because the mission briefing comes out. By the time you hear this, Matt, you will be
married.
Yeah. No, congratulations.
Boy. Or you'll be a fiery corpse and the Black Widow struck again. Probably not going to happen.
Is Dory the Jewish Black Widow?
Probably not. Right? Probably not.
Or you'll just be shacked up with Robin Young.
Probably not.
There's a chance?
No, it seems it's very likely.
Oh,
very likely.
Oh, dear. Well, guys, this is the way to go out. Mm-hmm.
Can I just get a print of your teeth before you leave? Because she's going to show me some at the wreckage of the car.
Yes, of course. And I encourage you to double check the records.
So many.
Not just against the ones she provides.
So many left-handed guitars without an owner. So much store credit to be had.
It's always my last, like, whenever I'm, you know, either like on a bumpy airplane ride or, you know, whenever those moments come up, we go, yeah, if this is it. Oh, what happens to all the guitars?
That's a lot of left-handed guitars.
What do we do with those?
Who's going to take my podcast? You know?
Other soft white
those,
people.
Those die with
cancer. No, I want to diversify.
They go with you. So let's see. We barely got through the opening sequence, which is the terrible Blofeld sequence.
He sounds like Triumph the Insult comic duck.
Very much so. And there's a really bad dummy shot in the middle when he pats the head. Almost say, like, I would love to... It almost undermines the credibility of the whole movie little bit, because you've been flying through London, you've been doing these crazy stunts, the helicopter looks amazing, scooping the guy up looks pretty good. Pat, pat, pat on the head of the dummy. And it takes you a couple minutes to get back in the movie, I think.
Yeah, there's a bad dummy work all around in this. The guy that falls from
have
the monastery.
Have you no respect for the dead?
That was not
he's
their
bond. He's their bond.
Do you think that the... Do you think that the whole pat on the head was also just like...
It's certainly supposed to be condescending.
Yeah.
But by the way, you got to be careful because you're opening your movie with a sort of a F-off to something that... I certainly, viewing it, just was like, oh, that's a really bad dummy, and I don't get whatever the joke is from them. So,
I'm not insulted. I'm embarrassed for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inside joke, and also...
and the priest...
So dismissive of killing Bond's arch-nemesis.
I know.
Like, yeah, the first 4 minutes
the
of
priest,
the
quick work.
The priest who blesses him as he goes.
Right.
It's like, if I was off-screen, I would be like, let's tone it down a little bit.
Now, you're our first Australian director, so maybe you don't get that we don't go for subtlety
here. With the blessing the helicopter.
We don't even understand what you're saying at the time.
I understand that I'm not Australian. No one in this picture is Australian. We're shooting at Pinewood and in Corfu. Bat.
Not a word. No, it's all Greek.
But he does that. That priest does play it like he's going to pull a machine gun.
It's so over the top. It's just, come on, guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, that Universal Exports logo on the side of the helicopter I thought was a nice touch.
Let's take a second to hear the original song that was going to be accompanying this film's opening.
By Sheena Easton?
By Blondie.
Ooh.
There's also, if you look for it, there's a alternative version of For Your Eyes Only by Sheena Easton that's not as catchy. And they went back to the drawing board on it.
Is she sitting at a table with her bosoms quietly resting behind her forearms?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Your bosom's being a little loud. Can we quiet that down? No. Just a little forearm.
Sheena, we're hearing it. You're getting a little bit of kick off your bosoms. So I'm going to put this nice piece of fanny pad there in between. Don't worry. Here we go.
I really like this sound. This is so much better than the Sam Smith Spectre song.
It's easy to see why they went with what they went with, but I do like this song.
I don't think it's terrible. Yeah. I also don't think it's great.
Here's the hook. It doesn't feel very bad.
No, you know what? Actually, especially when I get to the hook, I like it actually kind of well.
I like it.
I'm a father. I'm a patriot.
Are you a Christian?
I've done some nude work. The amount of time I've spent about, I frequently listen to Duran Duran's "You to a Kill."
Yeah.
The song. The fact that that song is not called "Dance into the Fire,"
I know,
is a travesty.
Right.
Yeah.
It's insane. It almost is an actionable lawsuit on behalf of...
Like a class action lawsuit?
Class action lawsuit on people that feel betrayed by a song that's called Dance Into the Fire.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of, like, when you saw...
It's called Burying the Lead.
Right.
Exactly.
Blondie did more to inform my sexuality as a child than almost anyone I can think of.
Yeah, we agree to agree. And then I ended up meeting Debbie Harry's in the States Halloween special.
Oh.
So many hands.
He's bringing us some Valvoline? What is this?
My son's got some
I think that's
fog machine.
Oh, I thought he was just
three
pints of Valvoline for us each to chug.
I don't know if it's well known in the podcast world, but the Lennons take Halloween.
We don't mess around.
To the next level.
Really?
It's October 6th as we're recording this, right?
Yep.
What is it today? 5th?
Today's the 5th, yeah.
And
We have weeks of prep.
Yeah. And it feels like autumn today. It's so nice.
Yeah, it is great. And Tom's beautiful wife, Jenny, was just spraying something on the ghost to make the sheet look better.
Yeah, we use it. Well, one thing we use is we use actual ghosts.
Yeah, of course.
For, when you get to a certain tax bracket, it's like you just want some actual.
Yeah,
you just order them from like Russia and stuff.
Oh, that's great!
Yeah,
they just come. Send them, and it's like, is there a website for that? What do they call?
Yeah, it's just they come as like just moisture or vapor, but then you sort of
You just open it up and leave the house, kind of like a bug bomb.
Next amazing sequence that we need to talk about is the Cuban hitman's the way he hangs out in Spain, which is, by the way, more clearly the island of Corfu than any place in the entire world. And I was only in Corfu for 24 hours, and I blacked out. But the Cuban hitman who murders Milena's parents with his pop-up machine gun under his seaplane, then we see just how he rolls in life.
He rolls large, guys.
He rolls huge. He throws wads, stacks of cash.
Doesn't matter.
At women whose names I don't think he knows. Nope.
One of them, a man. This is the infamous scene where there was one of the first transsexuals ever. Mm-hmm. One of those women in a bathing suit is a man, and no one knew it at the time.
Fun.
Yeah.
I just watched an interview today.
Or is a woman now.
Talking about the director of the movie, and he goes, "It's all right. She was probably the most beautiful woman there."
Yeah.
Just happened to be a
there's
bloke.
Also, it's worth. I won't have to point it out. If you want to see the worst dancing a human being has ever done, there's a gentleman in a Speedo who just gets panned.
I know what you're talking about.
You're panning by him. He's only on screen for about 3.5 seconds. But one more second. The boner that you've had from the main titles of this film, if you're wondering when it goes away, it happens right as they pan across this dude who's sort of just go-go dancing with a young lady in the background. Everybody's in Speedos. No one's on drugs. It feels like it's about 9:45 in the morning. Yeah. It's like brunch time.
It's a brunch
And I guess this is the way Cuban assassins hang out in Spain.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's documented. It has to be.
Matt's now actually looking just around. Oh, there you just went back. Okay.
All right.
There's a gentleman dancing.
Let's get this up so that they.
Okay, she starts making out with this security guard.
Yeah, that was funny. Like, I'm just a sexy lady, so I always like sex.
We're at 20 minutes and 36
black
seconds.
Swimsuit goes off the diving board. There's a very nice dive. Red bikini.
That's the man, I believe, right there.
Right here?
No, the one walking towards camera.
Oh, sure. Right. Cute. I'd hit that. Here comes Bond. He's next to a tree that kind of has a face. Then he's next to a different tree. And then people are playing tetherball, paddleball. There he is. There he goes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's at, can you give us the exact minute? Because it was amazing. I know it's just a pump smuggling fest after this.
Powder blues, short swim trunks.
But the,
it's him, I think.
Oh, well,
other podcasts.
There you go. Great.
And he throws.
He throws money at the women. And
so,
yeah.
For murdering her parents, he got what looks like several million dollars in rubles.
The, all right, let me quit this, cancel that. All right.
All right, it's some awkward dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll bring this whole thing up here.
Do you think that all of the extras were pitched the entire premise of the film for this sequence?
You filled in on everything?
I really hope so. Okay, so guys, here's where we are.
Oh, could I hear the Australian director tell us what's going on?
You guys are gagging dancing, and you're sort of dancing, and you're lounging with a pool.
I don't understand him.
Bond is going to come creeping up. He comes up through the trees. He's got sort of a suede jumper blazer.
Are you supposed to be swaying?
We're supposed to sway. All right. I'm just wearing a Speedo. That's what I'll do.
This man here is the highest paid Cuban assassin in the world.
What did he say? Assistant?
Cuball. I heard Cuball. That's all I made out of.
Coupon.
Yeah? Okay.
Okay, so James Bond.
By the way, why do they do the transaction out in front of a bunch of, like, weird people?
No way to know.
I think it's
no
just,
way to know.
You know, safety precaution. He doesn't want anyone.
You
want to
make sure you're out.
Deal. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You don't
so, you
want
make sure, so you make sure you do $1 million murder deals.
Yep. Yep.
In front of all your, like, party guests.
Yeah.
He probably just told them, I'll come over for a party. I've just signed with a Major League Baseball team. Signing bonus is coming. Just want to make sure everything's cool. All right, guys?
This then leads to wonderful car chase. Here comes some wine. That's the sound of...
That was a silent pour. That could not have...
It was the quietest foley of wine.
Oh, that was better. That one's good.
great chase through, obviously, the island of Corfu.
I love that chase.
Yeah, by the way, when they said we made a tiny Greek town look like Spain, I said, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't. You made a tiny Greek town look exactly like Greece.
Just like Greece. I didn't.
I know.
This whole movie, for as far as I knew, I was like, this whole movie is Greece.
Same here. This is the first time I ever caught that it was in Spain.
It's like, you're going to find him in his place in Spain. I'm like, well, that's just something you said, because he's in Corfu.
So this guy... It's a tale of revenge, I guess, is what this boils down to, right? She wants to get revenge.
Oh, and then it's great, and then she shoots him with an arrow.
She wants to get revenge on him for killing the parents, so she kills the guy that killed the parents.
She kind of goes all like Hunger Games-y on him.
Yeah.
And then, this is a...
She's an active, proactive Bond heroine, which, despite what they all say about their own characters, this is one of the only few that really...
She murders people with a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Which I would say is pretty impressive.
This is from one of the short stories of Ian Fleming. This is the first time they went to the short stories for a title and for a subject.
Out of
yeah, they were.
They had to dive in.
It's so funny that when they're running out of materials, when they go to the books. We're going to have to go to the books. We thought of everything we could think of sitting here.
So now explain to me how we end up at the... Where is the
Cortina
Olympics?
Well, I've never been good with the plots of these films. You know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They never distinctly. It's never really said that it's at an Olympics.
Ferrara, and the man, with the crazy name and the Van Dyke.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to meet
Christatos.
Him. Christopher.
Christatos.
Christatos. They're going to meet him. They know that Locke. Well, they think that Locke is in Cortina.
Yes, that's why they go.
That's
there.
When we meet. We'll send you to meet our man Ferrara. By the way, it has the most useless. Q invention in the world, which is the fake arm cast that smashes the head of someone standing.
Do you know who's wearing that?
That's for the record. That's not the most useless.
Okay, that's not the most useless.
That's not
the umbrella that kills you when it rains.
Also not the most useless.
Well, it doesn't really. It just kind of comes close to your
life. Very close to killing you.
That guy with the cast is another Empire Strikes Back alum. That's Boba Fett, Jeremy Bullock, right there.
No,
you're blowing everyone's mind.
This is what I'm here for.
Open.
Yeah.
Oh,
info guy.
Insert.
And you got two Game of Thrones people at least in this, Charles Dance and Christatos.
Who does Christatos play?
He plays Grand Maester Pycelle, the old.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And Tywin Lannister, of course, is in this.
No, but he's the old man with the beard. That's.
Yeah.
That actually just put my life in perspective for the first time.
This is what it
took. Because he's so old on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And here he's a dashing young buck.
Yeah.
Van Dyke.
He was once considered for James Bond. He's 8 years younger than Roger Moore in this film, believe it or not.
No, he doesn't look it.
No. He's also in Empire Strikes Back, too. That's right. He's General Veers. He's the ADAC commander.
Oh, that's right. He's like, no problem. And he looks through.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks down. He pulls down the, sort of telescope.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. God damn.
He's in everything that shot at Pinewood.
They all are.
Indiana Jones shot there.
Like, it's a true repertory company over there.
I just wanted to hear the discussion from everyone about James using the machine that sucks.
Well, get cracking, 007.
Oh, most British. Here's the British off right here. He wins, this guy.
Thank you. Smithers, how's the arm?
Coming along very nicely, thank you, sir.
That's fine.
That's... come in handy.
That's Boba Fett.
What are you
That's
doing
Boba
here,
Fett.
Sir?
That's Boba Fett.
He has such terrible posture.
And hair.
There it is. Umbrella that...
It's activated by rain.
Well, 2 seconds of rain.
Faulty because it's going to be raining when you take it out in the first place.
Good point.
007.
That's not funny, 007.
Oh, I see you managed to get the lighters back together again.
I disregard these jibes about our equipment, 007.
I wanted the Lotus so badly after this movie.
Indeed, I don't.
Why is this thing in a secret room?
Right now, afford a 1981 Lotus?
You could, yeah.
I mean, you're driving a Tesla, which started as a Lotus.
Did it really?
The original Tesla Sport.
It kind of looked like that.
The Tesla S was built. It was bailed out of a Lotus body.
Can we end this podcast with you purchasing a Lotus online?
Yes, I will. Add to cart.
Let's do it.
I'm gonna start looking them up.
CarMax that shit, and let's get you a Lotus, no matter what the condition.
Sir, you're talking. I'm already doing.
Oh my God! Mm-hmm. I'm not even half joking.
I'm gonna in
He's the lead on a hit CBS sitcom. Uh-huh. That's 4.5 minutes of work for him.
All right. Let's up it. 10 Lotuses.
Lotus for sale. Price.
You're
and I'm sorting price.
Googling Lotus
I'm
for
sorting
sale.
Price high to low because that's how
that's
I roll.
That's how you find quality. Mm-hmm. It's up at the top. You want a Lotus? You want a Lotus Esprit?
Cars for sale. I'm on it. Don't worry about it.
1981. Okay.
This is a great moment.
Okay. So Bond has to go on because the assassin was killed by a bow and arrow, or rather a crossbow, is the face of the man who is paying off the killer.
Warren Zevon.
So he has to go identify Warren Zevon. So yeah. Instead of using the traditional routes of taking maybe 2 hours with a police sketch artist,
right.
They decide to take 12 and a half hours
with
at least 12 could have been in their days.
This could be 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And they might be wrapping up at 11 o'clock at night. We don't know.
Let's assume.
Let's say, all right, conservative estimate,
Turbo
16 hours instead of 2 hours with a guy who can draw. And the guy's face gets printed out on a dot matrix picture. And
but by the way, the weird thing about it is it basically looked like Warren Zevon from the beginning on the computer.
It really did.
And then it looks a tiny bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The glasses.
You know what, guys, I'm going to resort price low to high.
Okay.
Some of those
lowest price plus shipping.
Shipping?
Cheapest Lotus I can get right now is 12 grand.
Do it. Pull the trigger.
You got that. You've got that on you. You've got that on you. You're probably spending as much for Halloween.
Every Lotus year, Esprit, you're wasting a Lotus on Halloween.
I'll tell you what. I'll pitch in $1,000.
Okay.
If I get it 2 days of the month.
Okay, I think here's the one I want. I want the 1990 Lotus Esprit Turbo SE.
How much will
you
pitch
in? If we're
let's timeshare this Lotus.
Hang on.
Let's timeshare a Lotus.
If we split this Lotus for a month, like
I'll do $4,000 to rotate every third month.
If we do $4,000 each, there's 30 days in a month. We each get it for 10 days.
The problem is what you want is it has to be a 1980 Lotus because that's what would be in this film.
Yeah.
This would be a 1980 Lotus.
Would this be the world's first timeshare Lotus?
You know what's funny is my buddy John bought a Lotus with the explicit intent of renting it out.
The fact is 1980 Lotus does not exist on eBay.
81 or 82, any of those come up?
Yeah, because this film is 81.
The film's 81, which must have been a 1980 Lotus.
Hang on a second, guys. The Tesla thing makes even more sense now. You know who owns the Lotus submarine?
Who?
Elon Musk.
Really?
The guy loves Lotuses.
He does. So he's hoarding all the world's Lotuses so he can up the price for them like water.
Those are all.
Does not exist.
Every Lotus you buy on eBay, it's chips from Elon Musk.
Personally.
It's Tesla fan 49.
Hand addressed. Oh, man, we got so close.
All right, we almost had a Lotus here.
Well, let's at least buy a Citroen.
I think we should. We can handle that, right?
Yeah.
Although a collector-grade Citroen probably cost us at least $1,000 each.
I love that little yellow Citroen in this thing.
It is nice to see Bond driving around in something tiny and not cool.
And gets broken really fast.
Yeah, everything gets broken really fast. By the way, I do want to just make a point. Worst anti-theft system ever?
Or best?
Best.
No, worst.
But there was a reason they did that.
Like, what if school
break a window.
You could be kids at school.
This was another meta thing.
What if you're playing stickball out by a Lotus? Little Jimmy throws it too hard. You kill 9 children.
At the time,
yeah,
I remember at the Lake Theater in Oak Park, Illinois.
Here we go again.
Everybody laughed really hard. That was a great joke.
That was a big moment.
Glenn, the director, the Australian director. was saying that when it screened in New York, there was a big problem at the time with car theft in New York City. And when it screened in New York, the audience applauded.
That may have happened even when I saw it. I remember there being a giant reaction to that.
There's also their way of saying we're going to get rid of that crazy gadget Moonraker world and put him lo-fi. That's why they put him in the Citroen after that to kind of get back to basics.
He uses no gadgets in this film, to my knowledge, does he? Is there a gadget of any kind?
Only his watch, which is his communicator, which a parry uses.
And his dick.
His watch.
That's right. And the Warren Zevon computer.
His dick gets a little bit of a workout. with everybody except for BB.
Yeah. Throws down. That's at least appropriate. Mm-hmm. That count as Liesl von Schlaff, though, when they're just at
her down. Right boob does an amazing performance on the beach right before she's murdered by Dune Buggy.
By Charles Dance in a Dune Buggy. Or is it Locke or Charles Dance that
it's,
runs her down?
Locke runs her over with a Dune Buggy.
Yeah.
And smashes her head against the window.
Oh. There is a large amount.
I don't like hearing that somebody got hurt doing that. That makes me not feel
there
good.
There is good anger that like comes that. Out of Roger Moore at that point.
Like, he's serious. By the way, he also turn. Almost kills Locke with the bullet misses him by millimeters. Yep.
But also when we were jumping ahead, but when he kicks the car that locks in at the end over, that was a big point of contention where he was arguing my Bond wouldn't do that. And John Glenn said, let's shoot it both ways. We'll deal with it later. And they used the part with him kicking it. And I think it's so great.
I think it's very James Bondy part
of the movie.
Yeah, I agree.
So great.
Yeah.
They were going to have it just be the pin that he throws in, the dove pin, was going to tip the weight enough that the thing fell over. And instead, they.
That's also kind of cool, though.
Yeah,
that is also kind of cool.
You know, six of one, half dozen of the other. But I like him kicking it over.
It's a good moment because you don't expect it from Roger Moore. Yeah. It's a nice
and
turn.
His hair is so beautifully blow dried.
Boy, is it!
It's gorgeous. Yeah. Every second of this movie, there's great hair.
Yeah,
incredible. I mean,
the Bond girl has amazing hair.
Yeah,
yeah.
Roger Moore, obviously amazing hair. Desmond Llewellyn's comb over looks great.
BB's got those little pigtails.
Oh, she does. Yeah. Does she ever.
Jumping around in a green leotard at one point, which is kind of weird.
So they track him down. They track down Warren Zevon to the Olympics.
Cortina.
Yes.
Yep. It's not the Olympics. It's just the wintertime in Cortina.
Right, but it does feel... But Lake Placid Olympics were big at the time, and as Bond movies do, they're seizing on whatever's popular.
Bobsled town. You got a ski high jump there.
A guy died in the bobsled thing.
Filming
shooting,
that?
Yeah.
I didn't want to hear that.
Wait,
this movie is pretty rough.
I mean, people die making movies a lot, but that's a real bummer. I didn't know that.
Did you notice when they get to Cortina and Bond and Luigi are walking through the snow?
Bond
sees Locke, and he basically goes, like, I've got to go. Like, he grabs Luigi by the arm, and he says, I've got to go, in this really tense way. Yes. And Luigi's response is, okay.
Because he's playing a lazy Italian.
What sort of thing is bothering you right now?
Pacifying.
Hey, Mr. Bond, you know, Signore, I'll be dead in a couple of minutes anyway.
Pacifying.
I know, he totally feels that way.
I don't even get it.
I'm kind of comic relief, kind of sympathetic sidekick. I pretty much die pretty soon.
Yeah, and then he does.
Yeah.
You will go over there, I die.
We don't know how he dies. He's just dead in the car.
His throat is slit.
It looks like his throat is slit by those hockeymen.
The hockey sequence is not necessary.
No, it's weird.
If we were to do a revisionist history of For Your Eyes Only, I almost think you could lose it.
I think you should.
Yeah. Well, then you wouldn't see that James Bond really scores three goals. It's a hat trick.
That's when it gets
too wacky.
Really stupid.
Yeah.
And there's a guy in the goal.
Yep. And then another guy.
Like, the only thing that could be dumber is if, like, the Hawaiian Punch, the Hey Kool-Aid guy came running out and attacked him also.
And Fat Albert.
Or Fat Albert or something. Yeah.
Even Roger Moore, who was known to be on the lighter side, said he didn't like the whole parrot giving them the clue and the Margaret Thatcher ending. He thought that was too broad for the tone of this movie.
The Margaret Thatcher ending is bananas.
It's weird. Yeah, it feels like it should be post-credits. It's like the first post-credit sting that was misplaced.
It's like Ronald Reagan in the Cafe 80s in Back to the Future. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
it's What?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
And that's... I don't even know...
It doesn't. It would fit Moonraker, but yeah, I mean, plus I think that comedian was very known for doing that. Impression of her.
Thatcher?
Yeah.
Sure. That Thatch impression.
The Thatch.
Okay, so we meet our first of two Greek folks. The first being the caretaker of BB.
Oh, is she? I thought she was Russian or something.
She is.
Like Eastern European.
No, I'm talking about introducing...
Oh, Christatos. Her mentor or whatever,
And Topol.
Yes.
Whose name I don't remember.
Topol's name is... what is Topol's character's name in this movie?
What is
the second comes on screen? I'm like Topol because when we were kids, I don't know why we're like, he's famous.
Yeah, one named guy.
Yeah, Topol.
What is his name in this movie?
Chris. The other guys you're gonna meet. He's a smuggler, and his name is
Topol.
There's invariably an IMDb moment for every podcast we do. But
Well, okay. Anyway, guys, I'll continue through the plot of this movie for our listeners at home. So we meet the ice skating subplot, by the way, makes no sense.
It goes nowhere.
It doesn't have to be in the movie
but
at all.
I believe that girl happens to be a great ice skater.
So she was, because she's from Ice Castles. Do you remember that film with Robbie Benson?
Yeah. Never seen it?
She's blind, ice skater, and they were partners. She goes blind, and then they fall in love and still skate, even though she's blind.
I think you're thinking of the Mighty Ducks.
Nope. Does she wear that little leotard and prance around?
I'm almost positive she does, yeah. And that's basically all she did, I think, those two films.
Well, I'm sure
she was big. That was a huge movie.
Being in two films is
really don't remember that movie?
That's with 111
that was like
credits,
a huge...
But, I'm aware of it, but it wasn't not a thing that where I come from, men didn't see those kinds of films.
Well,
I had a lot of Irish uncles who hit you with a switch.
I was raised and babysat by women, and I was forced to watch a lot of that stuff.
Like, you get over here.
No, I was basically put in a leotard at a young age.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here.
Okay, so the ice skating subplot, not really necessary. He goes there to track down Warren.
It is. Have you guys done a length check of Bond films? Because minus hockey, this one is about the right time.
You're right.
This is a hair over 2 hours.
It's a little too long.
This is 127 minutes.
Milos Colombo is Topol's name. Colombo.
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 And that's the story of how...
By this time tomorrow...
Topol was cast, was Cubby and Dana Broccoli ran into him at a party, and Dana Broccoli goes... Topol, he should play Columbo.
Look how good Warren Zevon looks in this film. This is Michael Gothard who plays
Locke.
But look at that picture.
Mm-hmm. Those octagonal glasses are just...
I mean, that's really doing it for me.
It's literally the only reason that the computer program exists.
I know.
To draw fictional octagonal glasses, because those don't exist.
Do yourself a favor, look up Michael Gothard who played Locke. On IMDb.
The late, great Michael Gothard Zevon.
Yeah. Died in 92. And his picture on IMDb is just, I don't know, it's super cool.
It's a picture from this movie that we're all watching right now.
Is it? Yeah.
Okay, so we meet Dolph Lundgren's brother, I'll call him. The German gentleman.
He's Rocky from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, basically.
Yeah.
And he's like the Red Grant figure, yeah.
Yeah,
and he is furious.
He loves the biathlon and hates capitalism?
He is the right side of his jaw is working so hard in this movie. It's almost distracting.
What's working hard? Right breast of Cassandra Harris or right jaw?
The Countess?
Yeah.
Or the right jawbone of that dude. And what does he do?
No way to know.
In the movie.
No way to know.
At all. Oh, he's KGB.
He's KGB, because he's a defector.
He's actually a KGB
from East Germany.
There is always a point, and it usually is around the 55-minute mark, where I go, I don't pay attention to the plot of these movies anymore.
But he's a KGB agent.
Okay.
Is the...
Right?
Yes. Is the subplot of the ice skating simply in existence so that she can explain that he's really good on skis and shooting guns?
Yes.
Wait, he's KGB. Is Cristados KGB?
No, Cristados is a
freelance.
He's for hire. He's does whatever you need.
But why are they working together?
He says, I sell to the highest
bidder.
Because
the KGB, they talk. Remember at the beginning of the movie, the head of the KGB says, I will call our normal man in Greece.
Okay.
The head of the KGB, you think is Cristados. No, but now we're going down a rabbit hole, but people are going to get tuned out when we get too deep into the plot.
Well, that's the problem, is listeners, no, I just do not pay attention to a lot of these things. I love the trivia, but not the plot.
They're designed for you not really to pay attention.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah, you're just supposed to be transported to exotic locales.
Remember Octopussy? It was
11-year-old boy with a boner watching this movie.
That's the stuff.
I could follow every moment of it.
Yes.
Never threw me for a second.
You got the point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at the time, I wished it was 7 hours long. It's like, I don't want to go home. I just want to stay here in Corfu.
Oh, what a terrible movie that would be. 7 hours long of this bullshit. Hockey would be an entire game.
4 hours only.
Hockey really, really doesn't work.
No.
It could easily be cut. There's no problem.
But it was solely based on that
set pieces,
Lake Placid Russian-American thing where it was like
that was only a year
in the zeitgeist.
They were probably shooting this.
It has to be.
Months after that, because that was 1980.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That was like winning the Cold War at that moment. That was everything.
So that was basically, they were shooting this while that was happening.
Probably, yeah. Like, the news was coming in, they're like, what are we doing tomorrow? Change the schedule. Yep. Let's bring some hockey players.
I've got a hockey scene I'd like to add.
I'm going to hear through it again. Are you going to get some hockey guys, any?
Dan and in Brisbane, we play a lot of hockey.
A lot of hockey gaming. And,
what he's going to do is he's going to take three of them.
He's going to get a hit trick.
It's going to hit him. They're going to fall into the goal. We're going to see the scoreboard. There's a goal. You get a point there. So we get 3 points. It's a hat trick. And James in goes, fucks the Countess.
You know what? I'll tell you what I love.
Dune buggy matter, you know. like Chekhov said, can't introduce a dune buggy.
I got a cousin who's got a dune buggy company, and says we can get him for real cheap.
It's very, very reasonable.
That's the problem with Death Race 2000 is they put dune buggies in and they never specifically murdered anyone with them.
Yeah, don't introduce it.
If you're not going to use it.
Dune buggy
and
matter.
I'll tell you what I love, those motorcycles with the spike tires. That was one of those things where, like, how has this not been done before? Mm-hmm. Maybe it was. I don't know.
It's probably been done before.
They probably stole it.
Well, the Aston Martin in Diner of the Day has spiky tires.
Yeah.
The chase down the hill sequence is astonishing.
It's really good. But that's set purely to disco music. Bill Conti. Sure.
It is. Sure. If you want to hear...
If this movie was a John Barry score, it would probably be one of my favorites.
They also very casually go to the undersea world of Atlantis in this movie without ever talking about it. No one ever mentions, they're like, oh, we're at...
This is part of... I'm really excited for Spectre to get back to the snow. It's been a long time coming.
Wait, was that the drug guy?
What?
That was the drug guy.
Yeah, that's the three. It's the third and last.
When they stopped this apartment.
They had to truck it in. Clearly this is an unused take from Rocky. This music.
Somebody's just like, what else you got?
Yeah.
This is lame, but I just want to watch this on Super Saiyan. So if you're at home, just watch the whole.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I attribute this sequence to probably why I'm so in the school in some small way.
Are you?
This is right about when I started school in the Midwest in Wisconsin. That's a not amazing story, but I remember thinking it's very James Bondy to be able to ski well, and I could learn how to ski well, and I did.
My dad had me skiing at a young age, and the only thing kept me going is Bond, because I didn't enjoy it.
No, it's
a for me, it was like, better up dead, though. Ski the K-12. This is terrible music.
That one.
And this is after the big Detroit Disco is Dead situation.
Imagine if this was James Bond music.
A little dicey.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
look how little snow there is next to the bobsled room. There's none. There's no snow there at all.
Oh boy, yeah.
Wow.
Oh my God, yeah. It's pure dirt.
Just dirt.
I wonder why those bobsledders passed.
They just hit a stump. Oh man.
All right, guys, you gonna hit the dirt?
You gonna hit the dirt?
You gonna hit the dirt? And
you gonna do dry land bobsledding?
Try to look like it's not. Try to look surprised,
like we do in Perth.
Just
be very surprised.
You're gonna say. This snow's brown, and we'll
don't eat brown snow.
Somebody died shooting that sequence.
Yeah,
are you for sure?
Yeah. Well, according to IMDb, so I'm 30% sure.
Accurate.
I'm 30% sure. Yeah.
Okay. So to sort of speed into the plot and through the plot of this movie,
speed the plot.
We find out that bad guy from Last Crusade is in fact the bad guy in this movie as well.
Right.
Christoph Voss.
He wants to
Christatos.
Drink from the cup of a carpenter.
He also wants to really support a young figure skater.
A little too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is the subtext there that he's just doing it because he wants to...
They got a real sort of...
Because at the end it kind of...
Sugar daddy relationship.
Yeah.
Well, you know, on his part, I don't actually get that vibe. On her part, I feel like, yeah, she probably would. Or was bitter about it, or
sorry,
she has.
You're too old for me.
He's 8 years younger than Roger Moore.
It doesn't matter.
And she is in Roger Moore's bed.
She's in there dangling a towel.
Yeah.
It's a weird moment.
It's a great
moment. Performance reminds me a little bit of Constanza in
Amadeus.
Amadeus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's got that kind of voice. Wolfie!
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think they tried to age her down with her like vernacular as, you know.
We're going to take a quick little break where my son comes in to
show. Sure. Oh, this is great.
Hey, buddy, come here. We're podcasting. Come and give your dad a kiss. Come here.
Hello.
Hello.
For real?
We can pause while you find Lilo.
No, it's okay. Lilo's definitely... Lilo is the dog, and she's definitely where we think she is. I'll see you in a second. There we go. So, we're at... Where are we at? BB.
I don't know, but he drew out the exit.
Yep. BB, if you're listening, call in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It requires a little bit of time travel, but...
I've met her.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Lynn Holly Johnson.
You've met so many Bond.
She's sort of a notable
orbital.
Yeah. And skater. Yeah. She was a real skater, obviously.
Lynn Holly.
She was sweet as pie.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Was there a screening of For Your Eyes Only you went to?
No, it was at that celebration of the music of Bond where I also met Britt Eklund and Maude Adams.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Britt Eklund was a tempest in a teapot.
Oh, Lynn Holly Johnson's been around. She's been in tons of things.
Yeah.
The
There's only Ice Castles, The Watcher in the Woods. Oh, so many things.
She seems like she'd be at one of those airport ramadas at a Hollywood autograph convention where I could
possibly
maybe
hope she would be.
It's also worth watching, but they did a remake of Ice Castles, but like a Christian version.
Oh dear.
It's really something.
We'd have to. Which one should we see?
She won a silver medal.
Probably the original.
74 U.S. Figure Skating Championships.
Wow. Yeah, that's no small feat.
Sure. Gave up in 77 to join the Ice Capades.
Oh, wow. The Ice Capades, that's not still going, is it?
Oh, it's got to still be going.
Well, there's different things on ice.
Disney on ice still exists.
But not the Ice Capades.
They should play BB Doll.
They probably have the Avengers on ice.
Only.
You know?
Iron
Man
suit. You know how,
got ice skates on it?
How something predates a pun? Like, I learned what escapade was after I learned what Ice Capades was, and it's only now that I'm putting the two together. Ice Capades was more present in my life than the word escapade.
You know, it was maybe 10 years ago that I figured out that cigarette was small cigar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And cigarillo?
I don't know what that is.
Oh.
I mean, I know what cigarillos are, but what is the word?
I think
what's the breakdown of that word?
It's little too, right?
Rillo?
It's got to be.
Is it?
I don't know.
Jumping ahead, the guy gets the shark... Bites the guy in the balls.
See the guy with the shark biting the balls?
Well, that's what we're jumping with. Way too far. A whole bunch of things happen.
No.
Ferrara dies.
Listen, we don't...
Another Lotus.
We're very, very loose.
What happens to another Lotus? Dune Buggy murders. Wait. We jumped right ahead of Dune Buggy murders.
Well, I thought we wanted to see shark ball bite.
Sure.
Oh, while you're looking for that, it's
shark
so bad.
Wait.
Later. It's in the climax when they're tied together.
Are you guys aware of the close-ups on Carol Bouquet underwater that she had a sinus infection? So
no.
They shot it in slow motion with a fan and then superimposed Alka-Seltzer bubbles.
Oh, because she couldn't go underwater.
She couldn't go underwater. And you would never know.
Her sinuses.
Yeah,
that's
it looks
amazing.
It looks so simple and so good.
It kind of looked really good. Then they climbed that crazy building. Oh, here, that was it.
Okay.
You just passed it.
Here it is.
That stuntman gets shark-balled. But you know the old expression? You've been sharkballed.
You've been sharkballed.
What? Sorry, you just got sharkballed. I find this whole sequence very... But it's a very, like, S&M. They're tied together. She doesn't have
but this is from
on.
The book.
This is from the Live and
this
Let
is
Die novel.
Live and Let Die. This exact way of Bond attempting to kill Bond by tying him and dragging him across coral.
What they just showed was shot... Not underwater.
Watch this guy's balls, everybody. At 141.09, this guy's gonna get his. Yep, that's his junk.
That's just, guys.
That's his junk. That's his
as
junk.
Real as real
that's
can
his
be.
Junk. That guy.
One bobsledder and two balls lost
what
on this phone.
What happened to that dude? Why is this not legendary?
Yeah, why isn't
like,
that in the IMDb
why is this guy
notes?
Like, on the guy, and you now know me.
Y'all know me.
I got shark-balled and
I was in Your Eyes Only.
But this whole scene is so... I just could never get over her in like the black bikini bottoms and they're tied together and
it's great.
It's really,
yeah.
You know,
she's
charged sequence.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah,
she's gorgeous. And I love that very much from the mind of Fleming
dragging Bond across coral so his back gets cut up so sharks will swim in the water.
Do you remember, was it like a Maybelline commercial? She was the face of one, like or a makeup or something.
Cover girl.
Yeah. And I remember those commercials where she would like unfurl her hair.
Say, like, I'm with it. She'd take off a motorcycle helmet and say, like,
oh, it was incredible.
T-Mobile's great.
It was incredible.
That's way later.
No? Yeah.
No?
I'm pretty sure that was her.
Yeah. I don't know.
She loved T-Mobile. Okay. So the long and the short of this is Topol, we find out, is the good guy, you know?
Basically, he tells you that pretty early when you meet him.
And that's very satisfying. You want him to be.
Yeah. He's like, oh, this guy's way enjoyable.
Yeah.
He gives Bond his gun or a gun exactly like his gun back.
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
Topol's alive.
Yeah. God, I want to know him. You know?
Should we invite him over? All right. Topol, if you're listening, please call in.
He's got to be great. There's no question in my mind that that man is a fun hang.
Topol.
Oh, he's got to be the best.
Yeah.
He's got to be the best. Oh, I found a lot of people from Tel Aviv are a fun hang.
Yeah. I mean, he's Tevye, for crying out loud.
I'm sorry?
Tevye from Fiddler on the Roof.
Topol?
Oh.
I know him as
Tevye Topol?
I only know him as
I want to know the story of how he goes by the one name moniker, Topol. That sounds like a denture cream or something.
Because his last name was probably Zizhou.
He was actually the smoker's toothpaste. It was called Topol.
Topol?
When I was a kid, they were like,
that's why I'm thinking of that.
If you smoke a pack a day, every day, imagine what it would do to your teeth. At which point my mother would scream, imagine what it would do to your lungs. I then went on to smoke 3 packs a day. So
That's where I'm getting that from.
Mm-hmm. My son's coming in again. 1 second. Yeah, baby.
Yeah. You found Lilo? Podcast with the Mats. You want to go get dinner? Yeah.
You read his mind.
You're a mind reader. This is unbelievable. He's whispering secrets, probably about Topol.
Yeah.
What if Topol's in the house and they're not even telling us?
Oh,
what if Topol's here, ready to surprise us, and they're not even telling us?
Where do you think Topol lives?
Topol, I guarantee you Topol lives.
Topol lives in Paris.
Paris?
Do you know that for a fact?
No, but I said it with authority.
No, I feel that like makes the most sense.
Lives in Paris because he's.
Yeah.
Do you think Topol's got a Twitter account?
No.
He doesn't have a Twitter account because he lives in Paris.
Yeah.
And he's too busy having unbelievable lunches with people.
Yeah.
Oh, Topol's lunches are legendary.
Topol's lunches.
I am looking up Topol to see if he has an Instagram account, because if he does, I'm going to friend him right now and try to DM him.
No, Topol for sure does.
Topol?
I'm going to move us on to the monastery.
Mm-hmm. Incredible sequence.
It's great.
Real place. Right?
Yeah, and the monks.
Semi-real.
Well, the monks that lived there did not want to shoot this film that was all violent, so they put sheets and shit out on their roofs to make it so that the film couldn't shoot there. But then.
Didn't work out, did it?
No.
Fuck you, monks.
The state stepped in and went, you can't do that. You can control your interior, but you can't control the exterior. Take it down, monks.
Take it down.
Go, monks.
Monks.
Tone it down, monks. Once again.
Calm down.
Larger than life.
You know, he lives right down the street.
I do. Does he really? A couple times.
Yeah,
really. Let's get him over
walking
here.
About.
He forgets that we know each other like 3 to 5 times a year.
Is it any sort of hint of recognition when you wave hello
not
to
at
him?
All. Nope.
Or does he
first
just
time
think,
every time?
Does he just think you're just a regular neighbor? Does he not know you're in the bit?
Does he come by for Halloween?
I think he just thinks I'm a fan.
He doesn't like bring a kid over for Halloween or anything?
No.
Do you guys do a big kind of haunted house thing?
They do here?
It's a pretty big scene here.
Really?
Yeah. It's a pretty big deal. Yeah.
I'm gonna have a kid just to bring him over.
That's or her. Much what we did.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Working on it right now.
I'd like to also say that I covet James Bond's outfit in this mountain climbing sequence.
So you
the
want
sweater and the vest.
You want a barber vest?
Is it like a sort of a leathery kind of? It's a tactical.
No, it's a blue. It's a blue
like a quilted parka,
vest, like a quilted vest with corduroy shoulders.
Oh, okay, yeah,
and then like a knit sweater.
Yeah, and a knit sweater. I mean, that's and by the way, his hiking boots are great. His climbing boots.
Everything about it.
Terrific.
Yeah. By the way, when he first ends up with Topol on Topol's yacht. They throw him clothes, and the clothes that they throw him are like a beautiful like navy blue turtleneck that obviously is designed to fit a man who's 6'2" tall.
Everybody in this final sequence,
we know what kind of general thing you're into. So here's a perfect.
Your reputation precedes you.
Here's a navy blue turtleneck.
everybody on this monastery cliff is wearing like amazing peacoats and adventure wear. Everybody looks great.
It's just like if you knew that this is the big day, this is the day we're finally exchanging the thing with the KGB, I want to look my best for the environment I'm in.
Yeah.
I'd put on a really great coat, probably some cool boots.
Sure.
Have a good time.
Sure, why not?
I don't see why that's so weird.
No, it isn't.
All right. I'm glad we discovered that. Let's talk about the climbing scene.
It's amazing.
Harrowing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those James Bond stunts where you're like, oh, man,
somebody probably died.
Guy out there. No, he didn't die, sadly.
No.
Not sad. I mean,
no.
For the wonderfully, story, he's alive.
Wonderfully, he's alive.
Yeah. Is he the one that also got fired from James Bond movies for free base jumping the Eiffel Tower?
No, his buddy that he brought on. You're thinking of, what's his name?
BJ Armstrong?
Somebody base jumped the Eiffel Tower?
Is that right? Thing,
yeah? Yeah, he brought a buddy.
Imagine how good that felt. That day you did that, though.
And then got fired?
Yeah, you got fired.
Well, he was like, I gotta do it. I'm never gonna be able to do this again.
Because he wasn't. They weren't gonna do a second take, and he was gonna get to do the second take, and they said, we got it, and won, and he kind of went, look, I didn't come here for nothing.
Yeah.
I'm a base jumper by trade.
Goodbye.
Here I go. See you later. See you in Paris.
Catch me on the ground.
Yep.
And I know that down there it's kind of hard to get around real fast, so I'll probably be on the ground in at some part of Paris. You won't find me anyway. And then I duck down the catacombs. Years go by. The end.
Except you caught me right away.
Did they actually
and fired
right
me? Yeah. And they got in a lot of trouble. Like they were going to have their permits pulled. The whole
took
film.
Too much hang time.
Yeah, that's
see,
right.
When I do that. What you do? You go you
straight
drop,
down,
and then I rip. If you hire me to base jump the Eiffel Tower.
And I am.
Actually considering doing.
Of course would I do. The second thing that I'm going to do is you think I'm going to land somewhere around Notre Dame? No. I'm ripping my chute.
Uh-huh.
And I'm free dropping
the
last 200 feet into the Seine.
So you don't even... You open, but just to slow you down.
I opened only to slow myself enough so that I'll survive the 200, 180 foot fall.
Okay,
into the Seine.
That's a hell of a leap. By the way,
after I hit the water,
what's your move then?
By the way,
that?
I'm just after that.
Yeah.
How do you leap that far laterally?
I'm falling. It's a free fall.
Straight into the Seine.
Yeah.
That's that's not
chute.
My understanding of the geography.
He's clearing it.
I've cut
he's
the chute.
Then he cuts the chute.
I've cut the chute 175 feet above the Seine.
Okay.
How do you get that far out?
He's just above it. Is it that close?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Very easy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an easy.
But the top of the tower.
I want to do this just to show you guys.
But the base of the tower is so far, you'd have to clear that.
What do you mean the base of the tower? The
tower's
not that huge.
Really, really tall.
Yeah,
I know, but the base is way.
The base is not super wide.
Oh my god, you got to shoot. You could come down. You could come down at Montmartre. You could come.
You want to come down in at the entrance to the channel? Not a problem.
That's not accurate.
Not a problem.
No.
You could do that.
No.
Yeah. Alps, done.
You could come down at the Port de La Chapelle station.
You could come down to David La Chapelle's apartment.
There's no way.
Probably. He's probably in Paris somewhere with Madonna.
He probably is.
Yeah. That's what he does. Right?
Dressing her up like Snow White or some shit.
Yeah. Let's take a picture of this. What if you're a Disney character? That's fun.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I should mention that I am on my back on the floor right now, and I'm looking at a skylight. And there is a printed sign that says, "Home of a Thespian, the Huskies." What is that?
It does, in fact, say that.
Somebody sent me that from Oak Park, which is, that's my high school.
What in what
and
city?
They got a strong theater pride.
That must be nice.
Yeah,
not my school.
Oh, there must be slightly overweight girls boning everybody over there.
Mm. What city was this in?
Thank you. Yes, thank you. That's in Oak Park, Illinois, my hometown.
Wow.
Yeah.
Home of the Huskies, Thespians. What was your mascot?
Go to that theater to watch movies?
Oh, without a doubt. The lake? Yeah. Have you not seen? I've got the marquee of the lake theaters above the TV in the living room.
Oh, I have seen that. Your dad made that for you.
My dad made me a miniature.
The lake theater that you saw For Your Eyes Only?
That's exactly right.
Oh,
but instead
Christ.
Of
time
saying
is a flat
For Your
circle.
Eyes Only, it has
time is a
time
flat
is a
circle, movies. You guys.
Well, it's essentially just a watch.
A watch is also a flat circle.
I know.
Where were we? Okay, we were discussing Tom's base jumping plans.
Yeah.
He's dropping 135 feet into the river. Then?
I'm going to drop, so high that people will think I'm dead. Because I'm Hans Grubering it, because they don't look for you when they think that you're dead.
Right.
So I hit the river.
But Hans Gruber did die.
Well, yeah, but he also, right before, his plan is to have everybody think he's dead.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm dropping into the river, and I got tourists, everybody's looking. And they're like, there's no way he'll survive that free drop into the Seine.
Right. This guy cut his chute too early. That's what they're all saying.
Cut it too early. That was crazy. Looks like a mistake.
Yeah.
No, but they don't know there was a plan the entire time.
I love that we're just back to View to a Kill here. This is great.
That's the one where the bitch... Isn't that the same similar sequence when she gets out the crazy butterfly sticks? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's right before that.
Mm-hmm. The only efficient way to kill someone.
That's the only way you can do it in that circumstance.
Yo-yos.
They researched it and they're like, this is the only way we can do
we'll
it.
We'll never kill him with anything else.
No. There's no way.
Lengthy...
Do you want to try that? Super
goes,
silent sniper
we
rifle?
We
got to
put this in our picture.
You know it. All right.
Okay, are we almost
mountain climbing?
Yeah, a bunch of basket people go up into a thing and throw
a bunch
knives.
Of people go in a basket.
Yeah. I got really annoyed when they cut Milena. Milena?
Milena.
Milena. They cut her out of the weird rubber underwater suit she's been wearing, but they cut away from it. Like a guy comes over and you think he's going to stab her.
Yeah.
And then he like just cuts open her like.
I don't remember this.
Undersea suit.
Well, when she comes up from the. Yeah. When they come up with the ATAC.
I should mention my cat vomited during this movie, and I think this was the part.
Oh, it was right. This is a good part.
Yeah.
And then they tie them up, and they're like, Mr. Bond, you're going to...
Is your cat okay?
Yeah, she just eats
too much.
It's just long. If we even get into that, it's dangerous. Let's move on.
Okay, so they go down to the city of Atlantis,
which
is
they
don't mention.
Never mentioned.
No, like, I know. What is that?
Well, here's
she's
Atlantis.
Vacuuming
I don't know
sand
of any...
off of the most beautiful tile work you've ever
yes,
seen.
Yes, no, I don't know of any Greek ruins Atlantis. Underwater. Yeah, it
the
has to be.
The civilization that taught us all about pyramids and has now been covered by water. Yeah.
So she discovers Atlantis.
Talk
we
about
make no mention
the
of this,
lead.
But nope. I did, while watching this movie, forget about the scuba tank being left there, but while I was watching the movie going, why would she just leave her scuba tank there? That's a ridiculous thing to
terribly
do.
Terribly convenient.
It is, but man, I remember seeing that as a kid going, that's brilliant.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. How do they know that? And they just happened to be in that spot.
In the same part of Atlantis.
Well, her dad was looking around Atlantis because that was very close to where the Saint-Georges...
Say again?
Went down. The Saint-Georges.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Saint-Georges?
Saint-Georges.
The big
Saint George.
Yeah, the ship.
Saint George?
Saint George.
Say
meanwhile,
in Australia. Say
together,
Saint George in Australia.
Sharks, it's the best.
Boy, well, that's it. We wrapped it up.
Sharks, it's the best. That actually sums
I feel
up.
Like we did.
Yeah.
Sums up for your eyes only, I think. Sharks, it's the best.
I do like that the ending is let's destroy this thing, and it's like detente. And ultimately, the message is fuck these independents, America and Russia, like. If it's not going to be us, let's destroy it. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
It's a fair statement.
They taunt indeed.
There, at this point, dude, does that guy knows that's James Bond, right? The head of the KGB knows that's James Bond.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. He's met that guy before, right?
Yes, in many films. Yeah.
Yeah. The guy who flirts with the secretary at the beginning who works in a big, crazy, empty office inside the Kremlin.
Octopus-y.
But also, why would... I love that he just... For some reason, it's just like,
Because
like,
I think
you're just gonna give it to me.
That's what I think. They're like, look, we don't get along, but who's this upstart coming in trying to do this shit?
Yeah.
Let's destroy it and have a laugh about it. At least nobody wins, but nobody loses.
Yeah,
it's a nice ending. It is a good ending.
It is a nice ending.
It is a good ending.
It's a different Bond ending.
Until
Margaret
they keep going, and the Margaret Thatcher talking to a parrot scene happens.
Yeah,
swing and a miss.
The hockey stuff's pretty weird too.
Swing and a miss.
Two strikes, but not no third.
First of all,
still,
that's
in my opinion, the best
clearly illegal high sticking. Bond would be penalized for that.
Yeah.
So I would rank this movie number.
What's your number one?
Nine.
What's your number one Bond?
From Russia with Love.
Remind me what happened.
Second Sean Connery movie.
He also played James Bond at some point?
Earlier on, he played James Bond. He has to go to get the Russian... There's a lectern machine, decoding machine that he has to get.
I have seen it.
A Russian spy pretends to be in love with James Bond and wants to defect and give him this machine, and they think, oh, this is so fantastical. You got to go see what happens anyway. This is probably not what's happening. We probably think they're going to be double cross. Go anyway. Train fight. Robert Shaw's in it.
Of course.
Amazing. Bond, the only appearance of James Bond's Green Bentley, as mentioned in the Ian Fleming novels.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a car phone in there. Sylvia Trench is back for the second time.
That's right.
A lot about that movie I really enjoy. That's my number one. Mm-hmm.
Mine's Casino Royale, believe it or not. The new one.
I do believe it. Yeah. That's my number two.
Yeah. It was quite good.
I love it.
I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. But Daniel Craig, I think he's got a future, guys.
Well, this brings to a close all of the classic Bond movies. Yeah. We've covered them all. This is big for us. This is a milestone. We thought we might never do it.
I think because
I kept putting you guys off. Yeah,
we always knew we'd get here.
Yeah, we started this thing 2 years ago.
Yeah, we started this before Spectre was even written.
Before it, Skyfall had just come out.
Yeah,
we went on our first date to see Skyfall.
We
together,
sure did at the IMAX at the Universal Center. We stood in the rain,
marrying another woman.
And watch the
Skyfall was the poster where he's got the machine gun, or what was he doing?
Nope, that's Quantum of Solace. No, that's Casino Royale.
Yeah,
Quantum of Solace.
Skyfall is
him.
Oh, Skyfall is Skyfall is the one that's the whole third act is
Home Alone. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We saw it, and then we stood in the rain and watched the Weather Girls
Christmas song.
Not even It's Raining Men.
It was the Weather Girls. Apparently, had a Christmas hit. I don't know if Paul Schaefer also wrote that.
It's Snowing Men.
We stood out there and we watched it.
Yeah.
And that was when we knew we should do a podcast.
That's right. And here we are wrapping it up until the new edition comes out.
Yep.
When's that coming out?
November 5th.
Oh, that's really soon.
Yeah.
Very soon. We're very excited.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to
it. Sam Smith does the song?
Yeah. He sure does.
Yeah. I know.
He really falsettos the fuck out of it.
I bet it's,
that video came out today.
Yeah, I didn't watch
it. Was it?
I have no interest.
Wow. You guys have a James Bond podcast and you did not watch
it? I watched it. I'm pulling for this guy. I liked him as a choice. I just don't feel like the song really fits.
Oh, the song could be
How Do You Not
a lot better.
Bit Morrissey at some point.
That came up. Phil Noble Jr.
How would you not? That.
Yeah,
come on.
You should. If you're gonna go sad, why would you not go Morrissey?
If you're gonna go,
yeah, why not?
Why not?
It'd be so much better.
Are you fucking crazy? It'd be the greatest thing ever.
It'd be one of the great things for
now. I know we're both Billy Bragg fans.
We are.
How would you like a Billy Bragg James Bond song? It's totally contrary because he's so working class.
He's shooting people who don't get proper wages.
he's not in the union, except the Union Jack.
And the lackeys he throws off the yard.
All the same, I'm still in love with you. Yeah.
No man has any right to buy or sell the moon for private gain. In 1981, to St. George's Hill, the guy from Moonraker with his beard came to shoot jaws into space. They defied the landlords. And with the girl with pigtails.
Oh, my God.
And James Bond got on his spaceship, and that's the end.
I would watch a whole evening of this.
It's Billy Bragg spoofing the Bonds. And I can spoof all of the Bonds until we get to Christopher Walken. And his name was Zoltan.
Zorin.
And he's Zorin. And he's
Zoltan.
And he's got a blimp. And you didn't know that this meeting was happening in a blimp.
Thomas Lennon, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Would you like to plug anything?
I'm Halloween, just the holiday of Halloween.
Fixture. I'm just part of the America's wallpaper.
Please.
What would I possibly? I'm on the Odd Couple on CBS.
There you go.
Great job. Yeah.
Is Joe Keenan still over there?
I'm the neat one.
Is Joe Keenan still over there?
Yes, time to time.
He's my favorite Frasier writer.
Yeah. Time to time.
He has a hand over there.
There's another podcast.
He usually drops a script off.
Yeah.
And you know what? They do it. And it's probably the greatest thing ever.
Mm.
He's great. Also, Matthew Perry's very funny on that program. It's a
Bob
big
Daly,
hit.
Bob Daly really
if I remember correctly.
Show. Who's a
Bob Daly runs that show. Yeah. Bob Daly's fantastic.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Bob Daly is fantastic.
Emily as the Odd Couple.
But I will say
You know, I've hung out with Billy Bragg, right? It was the weirdest thing.
No.
Yeah,
I didn't know this. We sang, you and I sang Billy Bragg songs together, and you never even brought this up.
Yeah.
When?
I was real, real nervous. I don't get nervous around too many people, but I got nervous.
I would be too. Yeah. What was the circumstance of this?
He did the monologues at ASCAP one night.
What?
And I knew he was going to do them, so I went.
When was it? In New York or LA?
Years back here. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Shit. I told you one time I saw him 2 nights in a row in concert,
of course,
and his ad-libbed patter was so brilliant, as I always love it. And then the second night, it was exactly the same. Like, he was making it up on the spot. It was somehow it.
Fred, you just learned about show business, my friend.
I know.
You just saw. You just pulled back the curtain.
I know. It hurt me a little.
What we're all doing.
James Bond shagging women
for your eyes only.
It will
never work for the Tories.
Weird to say, but James Bonding will return
with Spectre. Now we've got some grand plans for this. Let's see if it happens.
Yep, guys, look for many hours of podcasting based around this movie that hopefully is awesome.
We've already got our tickets.
I think it's going to be good.
I hope so. I'll tell you what. I didn't even tell you this. We got our tickets to go see it.
Yeah.
November 5th.
Yeah.
I bought some extras just in case people want to come along.
Oh.
You want to join us?
Yeah, where? Arclight, obviously?
No, IPIC in Pasadena.
I can't go.
Yeah, that's pretty far, yeah. That's another side of town.
Tom actually blows up if he goes past Studio City.
I do.
Yeah. I understand. I understand.
If he goes past the CBS lot into the valley, it's all over.
It's contractual.
It's all over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any part of the valley I'm in that has to be fictional. Just a weird kind of thing.
Thank you, Tom. We'll be back.
Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the Improv Fantasy Podcast, Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. Eight nuts.
Rachel Bloom.
You want to see my collection of men corpses and one woman?
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins has crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.